Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me on this episode is Travis yet again. Thank you for joining us, Travis.
McClunky.
And Paul Tassi is here. Paul, thank you for coming back and joining the show for this episode.
It's so great to be back. I'm happy we've seen a resurgence here.
Yeah, the first episode did okay. So if you do like Fireteam Chat, continue sharing it, continue talking about it, and the show will continue. As long as there's news anyway. And there's a lot of news this week, including a story that, Paul, you resurfaced an old Reddit thread about Destiny 3. I think we're going to start with that. We're going to talk about our overall impressions of the Onslaught activity. And the raid being on launch week is a little controversial. But let's start with the big one, D3, Destiny 3. Paul, I have the quotes pulled out on the run of show, but if you want to take us through, seeing it was your story, what's the big takeaway from this one?
So this all started with a Reddit posting from about a month ago, and you know, no one really thought too much of it at the time because you don't really use Reddit quotes for sourcing. But this person, it turns out, predicted the Prismatic subclass. Well, not predicted. They had apparently inside knowledge of it about a month before it premiered and kind of surprised everyone. And as such, it felt like we should probably take the next thing they said somewhat seriously about how Destiny 3 is in development. I think one of the items there was that they are Prismatic is sort of a test for dismantling the idea of subclasses and sort of letting people use whatever they want. Later, they posted some like inside Bungie stuff about character creation that was like kind of identical to stuff I'd heard from people in Bungie. And so that, I don't know, it all seemed to line up to me. And other than the base logic that, you know, of course, I would hope they're making Destiny 3, that seemed to be kind of a more concrete, you know, touchstone about it.
So my question is, do you think it is time for Destiny 3, or should they pull a World of Warcraft and sort of just update the engine so we're not like downloading a separate game like we did with Destiny 1 and having that separation? Travis, what are your thoughts about the fact that Destiny 3 is in development, and how should it be presented in your opinion?
Yeah, normally I don't think you need a new game to keep it going, especially if there's a lot of health behind your original game. But I do think Destiny's probably in a special position. One, it just sort of makes sense with the timing of where we're at in the story and the end of the Darkness and Light saga. Two, they've got the, you know, technical overhaul, which you can do on the same game, but it's, you know, it's not super easy to switch out the parts while the train is still in motion. And then the other thing is just that, you know, Destiny has its player base has sort of changed over the years. I mean, the existence of the show or lack thereof for years, I think, is an indication of kind of interest in the game. And I know I have lots of former Destiny friends who tell me, yeah, I'm just going to wait for Destiny 3 to jump back in, right? Like, they say that a lot, not knowing anything about it. They just kind of assume that there's going to be a sequel. And so I think it could be beneficial. I could also see them not doing that. I think they should make whatever decision is best for their team. I would be okay with either, but certainly the prospect of a Destiny 3 does excite me. And I agree. I think Prismatic, with what Paul said, I mean, you can kind of just see the writing on the wall in terms of, like, this is a test bed for a future where Guardians are subclassless, and it's more about mixing and matching light and darkness powers, which is sort of the fantasy of the Guardian post light and darkness saga. So I'm super interested in that sort of stuff. And I think either way, even if we don't get a proper Destiny 3 in title, I think Destiny is going to change so much in the years after the final shape that it's effectively going to be a Destiny 3 either way, because I sort of see us heading in that direction of a subclassless future. And I think it has a lot of potential.
I like that a lot. I would push back against your narrative that the player base was lower. I do think a lot of longtime fans, myself included, barely played. I would play at the end of every season and go through all the seasonal content because I've still been capturing it, even though I said I wasn't going to. I like can't help myself. And I think I am going to put those out again. But anyway, point being, Lightfall was like the highest player base, even though it was the most panned, right? Most people didn't like it. So I do agree that if a Destiny 3 were to come out, I do think there would be a lot of organic interest, and that would be great. But I disagree with the notion that it like had a low player count or something, because the one that's regarded the least favorably, Lightfall, had the highest player count. Paul, what are your thoughts on those? Sorry, go ahead, Travis.
Well, during the year, it did end up having, like, it dropped off so much from Lightfall. Like, we are seeing all-time lows the past couple of months for sure. So that was a whole roller coaster where it looked like, oh, Destiny's reaching its apex, and then Lightfall was just so bad that it tanked everything. I've been on Team Destiny 3 for a while. Like, I think it's an inevitability. I think we absolutely need some sort of clean slate at this point. I think you're getting close to doing all you can do within the current system, both in terms of the volume of stuff people have at this point, the ability to kind of evolve your game. You know, maybe if not from a gameplay perspective, like at some point you're going to have to like update the game visually to keep pace with, you know, all your existing competition. However, it's not like Destiny 3 is going to get here tomorrow. So whether or not it's in development, like if it is in development, it's still not going to be here for a number of years. And my prediction has always been that Destiny 2 will continue on in some form or another, whether it's just episodes, whether it's in expansions, for I would say at least 3 more years. And my prediction is when the rollover happens to PS6 and Xbox, whatever, which will exist, you know, in 3 or 4 more years or whatever it's going to be, that would kind of be a logical transition point. I don't know if like they're not going to build it in Unreal 5 or something, but like they need both a, you know, technology and conceptual overhaul, because I know everyone wants to compare this to World of Warcraft. Like it's an MMO. You can still, you know, everything in WoW, you can just start from the beginning and go all the way through and Final Fantasy 14. But Destiny's already, that ship has sailed for Destiny. Like Destiny 1 is a separate game already. Destiny 2 carved out, you know, 3 years of content, 2 years of content, and then you miss all the seasons in between every expansion. Like they need a starting point that is a real starting point for new players, not a new light quest, not jumping into Onslaught, which is free to play, like a fully new start. If they want to, you know, veteran players would be back for Destiny 3. They can say they wouldn't be, but they would be. That would also be a good jumping off point for a bunch of new players that, I don't know, were like 10 years old when Destiny 1 came out, and like it's a new generation or whatever. So it does seem both, you know, logical and necessary to me that Destiny 3 will happen. I just don't think it's going to be for, you know, probably for 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, I do wonder like if I would go back into Destiny 3, or if I can just kind of like sunset my time with Destiny around the end.
Oh, you would. Don't give me that. You absolutely would
if Destiny. I like, well, come on. When's it coming out? In 5 years?
Yeah, my argument 47 here, years Paul, old for Destiny 3, because I hear a lot of people say like, you know, I'm going to retire after the final shape because they've been here for 10 years and they kind of want to cap it off. And so I can definitely see what you're saying, Paul. Like I certainly, if I were one of those people who said that I wasn't going to play a Destiny after final shape, which I'm not, but if I were, I wouldn't have the willpower to just not play Destiny 3. It's just not
it's different between like the final shape ending, there's going to be a huge drop off after the final shape, for sure. Because you're just transitioning into these episodes that are disconnected stories. Nobody really knows where things are going. Maybe they'll announce an expansion like or something, but absolutely, well, there will be a drop off of final shape. But I would guess, say an episode, coming back for an episode is different than coming back from Destiny 3. I think that's a whole different...
A couple variables, though, that would maybe make me disagree with you. I think if the final shape isn't good, I think that's a really big, you know, that could just be like, all right, yeah, I'm out. Like, I spent 10 years and the climax wasn't worth it. I'm not going to touch it again.
Yeah.
And even if it is good, you always run the risk of like Infinity War MCU thing, right? Where there was this peak player base when that whole Thanos arc ended, and then nobody seemed to care about the next arc that they worked on. And so there's always that burnout kind of possibility. So you never know with these things, but I would say the number one thing they could do to make it more likely that people would come back for Destiny 3 when there is a presumable drop off after Final Shape is make Final Shape kick ass. If it kicks ass, I think you really improve your odds of people sticking with the series.
Well, so, I mean, if Final Shape sucks, I think Bungie's like dead. Yeah. Like, I don't think we can afford. We want 3-4. If Final Shape doesn't deliver, if people totally check out of episodes and just revenue tanks, and like if Marathon isn't like, this is a little separate than like the will Bungie survive question. I think we just have to like, let's assume for the sake of doubt,
yeah,
Bungie survives. But
well, I think
they will. But who's going to be at the helm? No matter is it going to be current leadership, right, or is it going to be Sony taking over and saying you've had your run? You know, that's the question that looms in the air. Yeah. You know, based on the layoffs and such. So yeah. I hear your point there, Paul. Personally, I'd be fine with a Destiny 3. I don't think Destiny 2 really needs to rush, though, to make a Destiny 3. And on the Final Shape topic you two were going into there, I would actually argue that I'm a little concerned about the systems in place, because we've been doing daily bounties and weekly bounties, and granted that's a staple, but a new player coming in, I lapsed for about a year, and I came in, and even I'm like, I have like 20 exotics weapons that I don't have. I have no idea where to farm those or to get those. Some of these missions are on rotator now. I actually tried out Fireteam Finder a bunch, and it ended up being better than my first experience with it. So I have to take that statement back from the last episode. It's kind of great, and that's going out of beta. But the new player experience is terrible, and it's still terrible. And Bungie just can't seem to figure out how to get new players into it. I do like the timeline thing. And the thing about Destiny 3 would be, it would be a fresh starting point for any of those Guardians or players who are either returning and have lapsed in Destiny 2, or you're just new to the franchise, and it's a fresh starting point for the series. I also don't think they would call it Destiny 3. They would probably call it something unique. And I have to wonder if you would just install the same clients, or if it just like Destiny drops the 2, like how they handle that aspect of it. But I mean, based on the rumors and the fact that Bungie obviously needs to make money, I do think it seems obvious that they make a 3. And then the larger question is like, is it a complete reset, or is it something different? So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think they just completely reset and do a new client? So new weapons, you're starting from scratch again. Or do you think they do something where they drop the 2? We had this same conversation before 2 came out, and I'm just curious to hear your thoughts. So Paul, let's start with you, I suppose.
I think they're going to do a 3. I know this idea of like just dropping the number and doing World of Destiny or whatever, but like, sequels sell. And I think, you know, this is something from the Activision days. The problem with Activision was they wanted a sequel like every 2 years, which is nuts. Like, but after 7, 8, 9 years, whatever it's going to be, putting a 3 on the end is probably better than just being like Destiny : Horizons, or I don't know, some bullshit. Like, it's something that I think they're going to end up doing. In terms of it being a reset versus not a reset, I really do want it to be a reset, because again, I think half the problem with Destiny 2 is that just all of these systems and inventory and all of the stuff has just been built up so much over time that I don't think you can carry that forward forever. You can yell at me about WoW or whatever, but like, I don't think this game is built for that. And we've already seen a lot of suffering because of that. That said, what I would be concerned about with Destiny 3 is they just spend the next 5 years back everything from Destiny 1 and 2 for the fourth and fifth time. And one of my stipulations would be like, the overwhelming vast majority of everything would have to be new. Like, don't just, you know, Destiny 2 weapon models, like, and put those in with modifications. Don't just spend all this time trickling back old weapons and stuff. Like, if you're going to port over Destiny 2 stuff or Destiny 1 stuff, do a ton of it at the beginning, and then don't just like make it this trickled out content. So that would be my one concern with a fresh start, is that it wouldn't really be a fresh start and they try to like kind of cheat just by porting in all the old stuff in some form or another. We've seen that to a certain extent in Destiny 2, but I wouldn't want it to end and then just have them do it all over again anyway. So while I don't think keeping everything is sustainable, I'm a little concerned about them just doing that in a reset too.
Yeah, because they're doing that right now with Destiny 2. And like, I have my list of things I haven't experienced yet, and it's like Dark Below. Why haven't I run Dark Below yet? Because I did it 900 times in Destiny 1. So I realize there's stuff in there that I probably would want to get. Even the Taken King, which is fantastic, and Touch of Malice is in there. It's like, I've done that grind before. I want the new stuff, not the stuff that I already had. But what are your thoughts, Travis?
Yeah, I think we get a Destiny 3, and I think it's called Destiny 3, just because I don't think you can put a subtitle when all of your expansions and seasons are subtitles of, you know,
that's
Destiny or whatever. Yeah, it's probably just too confusing. So I think they'll probably put a 3 on it. I do hope it's a fresh start. Paul's point of them basically just retreading and me earning hung jury for the 7th time in Destiny 3 is 100% something I worry about. I think they would need to justify it both in lore, like what are our guardians doing that requires us to give up? Are we leaving the soul system and going out exploring, and so we're kind of leaving the tower behind? Is that the reason? And then the other thing I worry about, in addition to them reintroducing the same old armor and weapons in a new game, is the pulling back of the feature set that they then have to re-release, right? Like we saw that with Destiny 2 Vanilla, where they took features out of Destiny 1 and then they reintroduced them over years in Destiny 2. And so I really wouldn't want us to like, all right, Destiny 3 doesn't have crafting, and then we get crafting a year after into Destiny 3. And that sort of like reintroducing of all of the mechanics that we earned, you know, over the
back
for lack
to double
of a better
primaries
word.
And consumer yeah, that,
yeah, exactly. We're just gonna have to learn all the same old lessons again. And I really hope it's not that. I don't think they will do that. But it will be interesting, and I think, you know, a subclassless world certainly calls for a new game. It's a whole new sandbox. I don't know if you can take apart pieces of the current Destiny sandbox and build to that. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
I hear you. I don't want to go back to where we were at Destiny 2 launch. Like they've learned so many lessons. They've done so many positive quality of life things. I absolutely agree with you, Travis. I don't want to go back to that. I mean, I have a whole video where I talked about why I stopped playing, and it's because you're just doing the same stuff all the time, and it was so fatiguing because every season it was unlock the squares. Granted, they've changed it up a little bit, and for me, I just focus on the story content, and I don't worry too much about the grind to get the best weapons, because if you're a longtime player, like, you already have a lot of the weapons. And I think that's part of the fatigue too. There's archetypes that a lot of players end up having. Granted, there's some strand weapons that do some cool stuff, and there's some exotics that do some cool stuff that you should probably be hunting for, but a lot of them are reprisals, like Whisper. So Whisper, yep, was just reintroduced as a quest, and it's the same great quest. There's some interesting stuff that you can do, like you got to shoot these Taken Blights. There's some oracles that you can find within the mission, and I unlocked White Nail for the first week, so I basically have the God roll already, because it was super easy to get. You just shoot the thing and it like unlocks a bunch of perks. So I like that sort of stuff. But we've done it before. So I agree with you both that we do need something different.
So much of the game for the past, like, however many years has just been, like, fixing content vaulting. Like, so much of it is just, like, I don't have any desire, really, to go back and run Whisper 0 hour more than once for nostalgia's sake. But those missions should be in the game. If you are a new player,
for sure,
you should be able to experience the best missions Destiny's ever done. It's just, they're spending all this work redoing everything when they took everything out in the first place. And, like, that's just, it's never ending. So like, just, we got to stop at some point here, and just fixing, you know, the problems that happened a few years ago. Like, that's half the content these days. And it's, I don't think that's a good way to keep going.
Yeah. The philosophy was the game install size was getting too big. It's like Call of Duty is like 200 gigs. Who cares? You know, Destiny is 120 10 or something like that. Like, that's the standard for games, though. So
I think their argument, though, was that it was making loading last like a really long time. It was having like technical,
there's a lot of impact technical on stuff like behind game. The scenes. It was taking longer, yeah. And like I don't like, I know there were,
I don't get what their issue
is. It doesn't
is.
Make it yeah. better.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily make yeah. it good or player friendly. Yeah. And then there's the whole microtransaction conversation that, you know, was happening a few months back. But let's move on to something a little bit more positive, because I think the new Onslaught mode, and more specifically tied to the Onslaught mode, is weapon attuning, which is basically a way where you can attune to a weapon and say, I want more drops of this thing. And then you go run the activity and you have basically a 50% chance of getting that gun or a different one. And it's kind of great. I also did the farm. I did all the quests for the weapons, thinking Recluse would be good. It's not. Don't worry about Recluse. Worry about Mountaintop and worry about Midnight Coup, because Midnight Coup has some nutty, nutty rolls. I'm enjoying Onslaught. I haven't done through Wave 50 yet because I just like to play slow, you guys. I appreciate you both. But
can't play Onslaught slow.
Yeah, it's yeah.
It's counter to everything Onslaught.
Well, we got to like rank 42, but then nobody shot the guy nuking the point except for me. And I'm like, we got to kill this thing or we're going to lose. So I really like Onslaught, and I especially really like weapon attuning. So my overall impression is pretty positive about these changes. It's unfortunate that the area is going to go away in June, but I do like Onslaught, and I like the target farm. I started with Paul last time. Travis, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts about Onslaught and the new modes, new options, I should say?
I think Onslaught is cool. It is extremely not for me as a mode. I actually like the game type, like a horde mode where you're doing kind of a tower defense thing in theory. I just think how it was implemented in this iteration is very 1.0 feeling. You know, the turrets barely do anything. The mines are basically useless. The decoys are cool, but you're kind of just, you know, mindlessly shooting for 90 minutes at the same targets until you get the same five weapons to drop for you. And I never really liked the whole random roll, do the same activity 100 times and try to get like a shiny. I think it's super cool that it's there for the really hardcore people who just, you know, are looking for reasons to grind in Destiny. I'm the sort of guy who like wants a roll that's good enough and wants the exotics and the catalysts, but doesn't need to do the same activity 50 times in hopes of getting like a different colored gun. And so for me, it's very like, cool. I know that there's lots of really hardcore grind loving people who like that mode, but I got in there. I maybe got to wave 50 a couple times, and then I was like, all right, I'm good. I'm out. I don't want to keep doing this. Well, so, yeah.
Yeah, I got a Firefly One for All with extended mag and compensator, so I'm feeling pretty good. Polygonal rifling was the other one, so more stability. Yeah, I got a pretty
but is it shiny, Dustin?
What?
But is it?
I've not gotten a single shiny, but I only ran like the.
Doesn't matter. It needs to be shiny. Yeah, sorry, you have to dismantle.
Has
that.
To be shiny. Sorry.
No, what does the shiny even do? So I read about it. It's like
nothing. It does nothing. Like it's yeah. That's why I like it, because people can't complain about the grind because it is functionally useless. It just it gives you a better chance of getting the perks you want because there's four perks, but like. And you could maybe switch from one type of role to another, but like, how often does that happen?
There's a look to the shinies too, right? Like there's some indicator.
Yeah, it's a unique look. That's like the main point, is that it's, you know, has that.
Okay. Well, I did the quests and they got the gold bear. I don't know what they look like. And I'm a little confused by what the shiny is.
If you do the quest, it's that one. Like it's the one he gives you.
Well,
but
then
but it's a curated role that always sucks. So those don't count.
Well, I have all the shinies from the quests then, I guess. So okay. Yay, I did
you
it.
You can dismantle those. But.
I got a mountaintop. It's okay. Yeah. Paul, what do you think about Onslaught and the weapon attuning?
I love it. I really do. I get what Travis is saying, and like it can be very repetitive, and I do think it has some issues. The defenses are very 1.0. He's right. Like there need to be more. They need to be more effective. The way, you know, bits or whatever they're called, things to spend them on are distributed, need some work. But I really like the fact that it's both sort of challenging and not challenging. Like you can kind of skip the first 25 waves on normal. So it just extends the time to an hour in a way that can be uncomfortable because not everyone, you know, if I'm running in and out or my wife needs me to get her a glass of water, like I can't, you know, really just pause it. Or like, it's not like a raid encounter where you can be like, hey bros, like it's just, the clock is always running almost all the time, unless you're kind of right before a boss or something. I like it because it feels like a way to try out a bunch of different builds that are fun and effective in like both mass mob clearing and boss DPS, like with things that you probably could not experiment with in a lot of other activities. That's less true for Legend, especially higher levels of Legend, where you sort of do have to lean into the meta in order to not like tear your hair out. But again, I think, you know, doing Legend 50 clears is pretty, you know, top whatever percent of the population. And that's not what most people are doing. The maps, it's a little weird that you can choose your maps. I think it's good because I really hate Moth Yards. I think it's a terrible setup for a map because it's so big. It's so open. Enemies hide under things and like, it takes at least 15 to 20 minutes longer than any other run. So I'm just never, ever going to do that. So I'm mostly doing Midtown. So I think it could use some work from a level and level design perspective. Like if they were designing maps specifically for this, that would be nice. But obviously we had to use, you know, Crucible maps or patrol zones because there's a limited time here to actually do this stuff. Nice, nice mountaintop gameplay here.
That's right. I just found it.
In terms of the weapon attunement, so this has been my big sort of like counter crafting case, where it's like, I think this is a good example of why I don't think we need maybe as much crafting as we rely on now. I think there are ways to solve crafting. One of them is something like attunement, like a 50% drop rate of a weapon per chest. Like it doesn't work with everything. Like it doesn't work with Shaq's stuff, or like, I don't know if it works with his chest. I don't think it does, but like a 50% drop rate on the weapon you're looking for five times in a run, if not more, that's pretty good. And you know, the shiny thing, those give you double perks. Like we've had other things in the past where double perks have not been that rare, but that's another kind of mitigating factor. Also, these weapons are going to combat the idea that all crafted weapons are automatically better, because you are going to be able to enhance these perks. So yes, the shiny grind is insane. Like it's like a, you know, 1% drop or whatever. It sucks that it's going away. That is one thing I can't really get over. Like I get why they're doing it, but it sucks, and like time crunching that is really lame.
It'll be back.
Yeah, that's if they're gonna be like limited time offer, the shinies are back, like then I get it, but like that's lame. But the fact that the shiny grind exists, I think, is fun and should be carried over to other activities, because like it's a tiny drop rate that doesn't really matter, but it's still a fun thing to chase, and you still get excited when a shiny drops. Like it is cool to get a shiny, even if it is probably pointless or worse than a drop you already have. It's still fun to get a shiny, I would argue.
How many did you get, Paul? How many shinies have you gotten?
6 or 7, not counting the quest ones. So
you actually
got did my own drop rate. Yeah, I did my own drop rate. I think my drop rate was like 3% or something, which is, I think, better than average, like 3.5. I think you have a better drop rate if you clear the full 50, because I think the final chest has a higher drop rate. I think at least 2 or 3 of mine were from this. So I think your drop rate can depend on if you do, like if you're just doing the 10 match made ones, that's going to be a lot lower drop rate of like doing full clears. But
what
full clears are not a guarantee. So
what weapon should
somebody
people...
that has to do 80 runs of the raids to get the exotics? I'm not going to test my luck here. So.
Paul, what do you think people should be chasing?
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow... grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, The Return of Mountaintop is exceedingly good. I have a... what is it? An impulse frenzy one. So it's, you can just keep doing it over and over and over again with really fast reload. The really, really good ones you want are autoloading recombination and autoloading Vorpal. Someone told me the autoloading frenzy I deleted was really good. in terms of other stuff, I have a really good recluse where it's repulsor brace frenzy for my hunter, my void hunter, which I really like.
Yeah, but funnel web kind of. Negated.
It's the same. Yeah, it's the same thing. And it's not like old recluse, but you know, it feels fine. Midnight Coup has like 50 good rolls. I'm really liking my Firefly Frenzy. Firefly One for All is really good. I do want that one. Firefly Kinetic Tremors.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like iffy and Kinetic Tremors, but that's supposed to be good. A lot of Fireflies. But yeah, there's a lot of good rolls on a lot of these weapons, and like even though it's sort of power creep incarnate in many ways, it's still fun to go for them right now. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the rest of them, too. So I think from a reward perspective, this has also been good, both in terms of what you're being offered and kind of how you go about farming them.
Just a quick aside, I finally played through the Season of the Deep dungeon. And while I think it's really cool story-wise, I hate that dungeon. That dungeon was not...
It's terrible. It's such a slog.
It,
oh, my God.
It was very sloggy. There's way too many mechanics to get to a DPS phase on the boss. It was just... I'm just like... Oh, you got to go in the water again and go through the...
The water segments are some of the worst things they've done in the game in like many years. That I don't know why they thought... I just wanted to shoot guns underwater and like have fights. Like, just what is this Sonic the Hedgehog bubble stuff?
You like that dungeon?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah.
Are you just saying this to be contrary now, Travis?
No. I like that dungeon. I think the reason people don't like it, at least from what I can tell, is that they did it more than they should have.
I did it one time.
Like,
and I
did that dungeon.
No, I did it like twice.
But really? Because like the first time I did that dungeon, I was like, wow, this is cool.
But
and
even
new
then,
and
I'm like,
great.
These traversal segments are insane.
Yeah.
And the boss
they were long.
Is also insane.
They were long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the number of times I had to do the ritual to get to the DPS phase on that.
Yeah. Do it one time and let us DPS.
Five phasing
like,
dungeon
come
bosses.
On.
Like,
yeah.
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 But I was lucky because I got the exotic like on my second, and I just did the final boss the second time. So I feel like I didn't play it enough to get sick of it. And I thought it was really cool the first time you played it. But yeah,
the environment is cool. Yeah.
Environment's cool.
The final battleground with the Oryx corpse is like one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Yeah. It's just
it's really cool.
It's on Rotator this week. So you can probably find a crew to do it. And I used D2. No, I used Fireteam Finder to run it actually because nobody on the Destiny 2 Discord channel was was rolling it. So I was like, all right, I'll use Finder. And I had
a reason for that.
I had a good experience.
I don't have the exotic from that. What is it, the trace rifle? Is that the exotic?
I don't remember what it was. It's one of those ones that I put in my vault and was like, I'm probably never going to use
this. This part's for lapsed players.
I swear it's the strand trace. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
What's the hand?
The dungeon weapons weren't good either. The normal ones that you farm, mm-hmm. there was like one good roll of one of them, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but they had the armor in this one, right? This was one of the dungeons with the
exercise,
the special armor you could get. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Point is, it's just like, it wasn't a good dungeon in my opinion, but we differ on that one. The final thing that we were going to talk about was the raid date. The raid date is
weird.
Right. next to launch of Final Shape. It's like 3 days later, and that's surprising. So, yeah, it says the raid is on June 7th. There's a bunch of clan updates to raid activities, which I sort of like and I sort of don't. I don't know. I probably have to fix the IGN clan, which is basically all lapsed players at this point. Yeah, what do you? I'll just throw to you because I'm sort of indifferent. I'm not going to run raid day one, so yeah, like I'm not going to do that 3 day grind. I did it for Last Wish. It's a lot. I am going to stack bounties, so I level up a bit at the beginning, but I don't think I'm going to find a crew that I'm going to farm to. If there is a power increase, I don't even know as a lapsed player.
Is there a seasonal artifact? I think, won't be, right?
I don't think there will be
episodic artifact.
Yeah.
The thing to keep in mind though is that the crazy grind you experienced, Destin, when you prepped for the Last Wish isn't really a thing anymore because there's the power catch-up mechanics when you do the legendary version of the campaign, right? They had that for the last two campaigns, and so that sort of boosts you pretty close. I personally am happy about this because I'm reviewing this game, and I really hate the 10-day delay because I can't write my review, right? I can't put the score on it until I've done the raid, and so usually I have like this enormous wait in between the game coming out and me being able to slap a review on there. So for me, it's just going to be goblin mode for 3 days, do the contest raid, write the review, and then I'll get to feel good about
that.
Do
you like
that? Back to playing casually.
As not a reviewer, as a player.
No, as not a reviewer, it sucks. I'm like probably the only person in the world that this is actually convenient for. So thanks, Bunny. literally like everything else, I think it sucks. I don't know why Bungie did this. My current theory is that they just really want the Final Shape to hit really strong and just dominate the conversation that whole week. And I feel like more recent expansions, even when they were good, they had more of a slow burn. Like it was in Witch Queen, people talking about the campaign for a couple days and then a little bit of complaining because they were running out of things to do. And then the raid coming out and then people talking about that and then complaining again. And so I feel like they just want to like have that week be nothing but good vibes, lots to do, people not running out of runway. And I feel like maybe they kind of have to do that because I think the stakes have never been higher for Destiny in terms of expansion hitting. So it's an interesting choice. I don't think it's very player friendly. It also kind of goes against some of the messaging they've given in the past about not wanting their players to do unhealthy things with Destiny. And I think that people are definitely going to be doing that now.
Yeah.
Not a great decision, but it works for me.
I think as a human being, sometimes the responsibility is yours to either be healthy or not healthy. Because it's even true. With the game it's as true. It stands today, you could play it in an unhealthy way, even as a lapsed player, you know? So there's a lot of stuff online. Like if somebody posts the ending to a game and you don't want to see it and then you watch it, I'm like, is that on the person that posted the ending or is it on you for not having the self-control to not click and watch the ending? I don't know.
That happens with articles all the time. Yeah. I'm like talking about like season two of a show and people are complaining. I'm talking about like season one. I'm like, why did you click on this article? If it was about the season, then
I just want to know about season two, Paul. Yeah. Just season two.
Yeah. Paul, what's your thought on the raid being so close to launch?
Well, I think Travis is right in the sense that like the grind isn't quite what it used to be in terms of like the Last Wish grind was like crazy power level grind, like just, you know, gremlin mode and a half. Like they that hasn't been the case for a while now. And
I like having this seasonal
artifact
because I did it. You can't really see it. Lame. We were place 63rd. We were 63rd in the world to finish Last Wish.
Wow.
So, I've never heard anybody brag as much about being 63rd at something.
It's because Teddy made me this chart. Anyway, sorry, Paul.
Oh, my God. I mean, again, it doesn't affect me. I'm not doing day one. I'm going to watch it and cover it that way. Like, I usually document who wins and stuff like that. But I get why people are kind of annoyed. I just don't think it's as big of a deal as it used to be. They're doing it for story reasons because this is the last expansion. This is the culmination of the Light and Darkness saga. Part of this is going to be, you know, the Witness will be the raid boss, but we know that there is something, you know, with the whole player base that is like the final push against the Witness that is not the day one raid because, you know, what percent of the player base is doing the day one raid to like totally finish the story of Destiny. What, 5%, 10%? I probably lower than that. So they don't want the whole saga to finish with like the world's first raid team. So after, maybe after, you know, right after, or maybe a couple days after at reset, I'm not sure, but then there will be like the real ending to the game. I just don't think they want to push that like 10 days out from launch and drag that on. And then what's supposed to happen is like after, you know, you beat the normal campaign of Final Shape, then we're going to launch into Echoes, the first episode, which is disconnected, but it will be kind of be like the Final Shape has to be some sort of like hard stop, like Witness is gone. I don't know. Maybe the Traveler's gone, something. And then the world will change. And then Echoes, the first episode, will be a result of that. So you can't really drag, you know, season of the Final Shape, because there is no season. Mm-hmm. It's like you do the campaign and there's no like attached season in the same sense anymore.
It's going
to
be so like,
I think they want to get it over as soon as possible.
You know, it's going to be like, there's still tormentors looming in the world. You've got to go put a stop to the Guardian and whatever.
Well, they just introduced a whole enemy race. Yeah. They're not going to like delete it after seven campaign missions. So
The Witness, imagine if they did though.
Roam free. Yeah. All that stuff.
Imagine the bravery of deleting after, you know, 3 days of your mob existing. Crazy.
What if we kill it's all like, the
well,
Scorn?
That didn't go well. I'm out of here.
If you could delete one enemy faction, like let's say that the story concludes and one enemy faction gets deleted, which one would you choose to delete?
Oh man.
Like, I know it would break the game, but like Shirochi, let's say all those ads are replaced with Scorn or something.
I'm going to say honestly, Taken. I just
really,
like, it's the original, like, oh,
I hate, you know, that they teleport
skin models and they teleport a lot and they're jittery and they have like the freaking Hobgoblin retaliation. Like, it's just, they're annoying and I don't think they're creatively interesting. I think they were completely conceived as a way to sort of like cut the corner on making a new race without being one.
So were the Scorn though.
The Scorn are better though. The Scorn are pretty transformed, I'd say.
That's true, but they're smaller. If I delete an enemy faction, does that take them out of the Taken faction as well?
No.
Like if I delete Cabal, are there no Taken
versions of them?
Okay. Yeah.
No.
I'm going to choose Vex then, just because I think they're not interesting.
That was my second choice, is Vex. Yeah. I don't know how they can ever make the Vex nearly as interesting as any of the other races. They've talked about it, like post Destiny 2, they've said that like the Vex are probably going to be a major thing. I would love to go to the Vex homeworld. That's been talked about a lot. Like, I want to leave the system. I want to do that.
It was in Destiny 1,
but
Venus.
In terms of like, what was their homeworld?
I know.
But like, how do you make a Vex character that is on the level of like Sabathun or, you know, Oryx or any of the other races have their own kind of like big bad, whereas Vex, it's like, who are you talking about here? Like hijacked?
I think they can do it. I mean, the weird thing is that in Destiny 1, the Vex were presented as like the ultimate evil, right? Like they were supposed to be the thing that like all the other factions were afraid of, and they've sort of become a joke. And I hate trying to hit their hit points because it's so inconsistent on the chest. There's so many reasons that I'm going to choose Vex for sure.
That's fair.
Also, I hate having to wait when you're killing a hobgoblin and then they just make you chill for a sec, you know, they do the,
so you just
arm
put
lock
on anti-barrier everything and just be like,
shield. And you're just like, dude, come on, man. I've got stuff to do.
I might pick Cabal just because I feel like we've killed them so hard that like, why are you still wandering around? Because like you lost, pack it in. Like
you're gonna kill our allies?
No, they're.
You're gonna kill just all the Cabal.
Make all the Cabal good guys.
War crime, Destin over here.
No,
yeah, dude.
No, they can stay. Like the Empress, fired. The Empress can stay. Keitel's fine. She's cool. But like all the bad ones that we fight, it's like, come on. Like at some point, like we've killed all the leaders of the Cabal. The Cabal are done, right? Lore wise,
multiple times.
Yeah, Zuarath killed the entire Cabal homeworld and like fleet.
Yeah, so
there's
like
not that many Cabal left.
Like there's like 20 of these guys left. And who are they following now? The Phalanx shield guy or what? The shield?
They were following Kallus, and now Kallus is dead. So
yeah, so
just hanging out with the Witness. They're like, we get these cool backpacks that generate shields. So
yeah, I don't get what they're doing. At this point. That's all I had for this episode. Not sure when we're going to do the next one, but there was a lot to talk about this week. If there's a lot to talk about next week, we'll do it. If not, we will go on hiatus until there's something interesting to discuss. And I'm sure there will be things interesting to discuss on our way to the Final Shape, like when that other exotic mission returns. That would probably be a good week to do the next episode.
0 hour.
I think we'll just do the outro then, unless, Paul, where can people watch your stuff? You've been covering Destiny nonstop, so you're probably a good one to plug.
Yeah, at Paul Tassi on Twitter. I've been slow to make YouTube videos lately about Destiny because there's not been too much happening, so I will do more of those soon. But yeah, that's, and then you can Google me for my articles.
Travis, you're reviewing The Final Shape, and what else you got going on?
Yes. We did an IGN first that is concluding on Tuesday for a new game called Eternal Strands. I think everybody should check it out because it's a new IP and an indie game, and everybody says they want more of those, and then they don't read the articles. So you should go and watch those videos and interviews and stuff. It's really cool. Other than that, yeah, I'm reviewing No Rest for the Wicked right now. So I don't know if any of you guys have played that, but it's pretty cool. Scratches a pretty Destiny itch for me in terms of the loot game. So I'm really enjoying that. And I've got a review of another Crab's Treasure, a Souls-like where you play a hermit crab under the ocean. That's going to be out on Tuesday. So lots of cool stuff for me. Find me on Twitter at TyGuyTravis. Thanks for inviting me, Destin.
No problem. It's time to do the Guardians out, y'all. So that's it for this episode. Until next time, Guardians out.
Guardians out.
What if you discovered you could move between the worlds of dreams and real life? That's the story of Dream Breachers, where Evan wakes up on his 12th birthday and realizes that something he dreamt about the night before had actually happened. With the help of his friends, a reappearing stranger, and a mysterious organization called the Dream Academy, Evan will discover what it means to be a Dream Breacher. Dream Breachers is a high-stakes sci-fi mystery adventure about the highs and lows of having all your dreams come true, and is perfect for kids ages 8 to 12. If that sounds like a dream to you, you're in luck. You can listen to Dream Breachers now, wherever you get your podcasts.